The South Slough Research Reserve in Coos Bay is one of the first of 30 national research estuaries of its kind in America, and this year it turns 50 years old. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. I'm Mike Green. Today we're talking with Patricia Fox, manager of the South Slough Research Reserve. Welcome, Patricia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Dr. Jeff Payne, the Senior Service Director of the NOAA Office of Coastal Management. Welcome, Dr. Payne.
Hi, Mike.
We also welcome listeners' questions and comments at jx@jeffnet.com. So, Patricia, let's start with the basics. What is the South Slough, and how is it different from a bayou or a pond?
So the South Slough is, as you said, the first of 30 national estuarine research reserves around the nation. And what makes it so special and unique is that it manages and studies nearly 7,000 acres of natural area, which includes open water channels, tidal and freshwater wetlands, riparian areas, and forested lands. So a portion of the area includes waterways, trails, and we also have a visitor center that's open to the public. So really, we have three main programs that we study in this living laboratory. We have our research program, we have our stewardship program, and our education program, studying all these coastal waters to inform coastal management practices.
So what can we learn from a slough?
I think you can learn so many things. I think that's what makes it so special. To some people, it's just learning about maybe salmon and lamprey habitat and what some of our culturally important species are, or some of our other bird populations and what makes a healthy habitat and ecosystem for them. For other people, it's just getting outside and enjoying what a salt marsh really is about, and getting in a kayak and kayaking through the slough, or getting on a hiking trail and learning about really what makes this place so unique in our area. So I think it means a lot of different things to a lot of people, and that's what makes it so special. So it could be taking one of our classes learning about mushrooms, or taking a class learning about birds, or being a teacher learning how to implement some lessons in your classroom about climate change and how to relay that to your students. So I think that's what makes it so special.
So not only can we get an education, but we can also play in a slough.
Absolutely. We have our community program for everything from toddlers, pre-K, all the way through having college students and interns come, people from getting their PhD, doing their own research, high school students, and then our community member classes. So anyone from the public can just sign up for a class, a movie, a bird watching experience, or going out for a paddle on the slough. So we have a variety of different programs. And like I said, as well, we support our local schools through our teacher program. We have a coastal training program where really it's taking all of the research, stewardship, and education and making sure our local leaders and teachers have the tools that they need to make important decisions in the classrooms, and also for making policy decisions.
Well, it sounds kind of fun. I'm getting an education in this conversation as well. Dr. Payne, how many sloughs are there across the nation, and how much area do they cover, and what kind of information do you collect from them?
So Patricia actually did answer a part of that question. We have 30 national estuarine research reserves nationwide. They span from Alaska to Hawaii to Puerto Rico, all up and down the East Coast, the Gulf, and the West Coast. It really is a treasure of special places, as Patricia noted. And the kinds of things that we are looking for as the national program that is overseeing and helping to administer and partner with all of the independent 30 reserves is, by definition, a federal, state, and university-based partnership. So we provide resources, we provide technical assistance, data collection, a range of things. And then we also assist with the management of the reserves by being collaborators with the reserves. So the kinds of attributes that the reserves are there for, and the kinds of things that we are hoping to accomplish is to really have, at least in one circumstance, a relatively consistent approach across all the reserves. This is important because one of the things that Tricia mentioned is The components, what makes up a reserve, includes research and science, the stewardship, and the education. There's also a training component, and Patricia, I think some of that happens there in South Slough as well. But for example, with the research and science, one of the features of the entire reserve system is that each reserve undertakes basic conditions monitoring. Patricia mentioned climate, and how do we know about what is changing the climate, both variability as well as long term? And that is by taking measurements, is by assessing the information that we collect, and then putting that into the policy and decision-making space that was mentioned earlier. So that is a very systematic and repeatable mechanism that is installed at each reserve through what's called a system-wide monitoring protocol, and the instrumentation and the scientists that actually run behind that. So it's a wonderful system, and it's providing information on a nationwide basis.
Well, your system has a strategic plan that I want to get into in a few moments. But first, Patricia, the South Slough turned 50 this year, and Governor Tina Kotek visited to help celebrate. Tell us about that.
Well, she did. It was pretty amazing. We had a lot of folks come, including Dr. Payne, which was such a treat. We had a lot of folks from NOAA come from Washington, D.C. and visit us. The whole land board actually came. So it was the governor, the secretary of state, and Treasurer Reed as well. It was very special for them to make the trek down. We are pretty remote here in Coos County, located in Charleston. So it's quite a trek to come down. But we were celebrating not just 50 years, but also celebrating some new exhibits that we had at the visitor center. So we have all new exhibits with help from NOAA funding, which was amazing. And so I really encourage folks, even if you've never been to the reserve before, or if you're a regular visitor, to come check out the new exhibits that were, in particular, were really closely collaborated with our cultural staff and the Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua and Tsleil-Waututh Indians, the Coquille Indian Tribe, and the Confederated Tribe of the Tsleil-Waututh Indians. So I just wanted to note that. But yeah, it just showed such a commitment and such support to have our governor come down and celebrate why Oregon is really at the forefront and how important these reserve systems are nationwide, but also here locally into our entire state. So it was really special to have folks from NOAA at all levels come, as well as having the entire land board here.
I'm talking with Patricia Fox, manager of the South Slough Research Reserve, and Dr. Jeff Payne, the senior service director of the NOAA Office of Coastal Management. Patricia, you were describing the 50th anniversary with Tina, and Dr. Jeff Payne came as well. Can you talk about some of the public amenities that you mentioned? What will people see, and what can they do at the SLU?
Sure. So we have a visitor center, which is open Tuesday through Saturdays, and you can come in, and we have all new exhibits. The new exhibits also showcase the Maluk names for the habitats, which is really who is taking care of these lands from time immemorial. So it's important for us to always recognize and honor the code stewardship of the SLU with our tribal nations. We have a lot of cultural components, such as a native-style clam shovel, a herring rake that was used back in time immemorial for folks to take a look at, as well as some interactive educational games and activities in the exhibit hall. We also have movies that we show in the auditorium on a regular basis, and there's a schedule of events on our website. And you can also sign up for a variety of different classes. Those classes range from mushroom identification and picking to paddling with a scientist. So you can actually paddle the SLU and learn more about the habitat and all of the fish and different creatures that are in those habitats. So that's available to community members as well. And then again, we have throughout the year, really, but especially in the spring and summertime, we've got our student programming. So we've got our toddler programming, our K-12 programming. We do a spring and summer science day camp that we host. And then we also, again, work with our teachers in our local communities. seeing what needs they have for different workshops and how we can better support them in their schools and in their classrooms.
Well, it sure sounds like fun to paddle with a scientist, but I know that there's a lot of research that goes on there. Dr. Payne, can you talk about the five-year management plan? What's in it? Why every 5 years?
So the five-year management plan for the reserves, and each reserve is I don't necessarily know if they're on the same timeline, but we have a five-year plan that we are looking to at least one dimension being to increase the number of reserves nationwide. And this is a actually widely favored action that we would like to see take place. It will take resources to be able to fund new reserves, but we have three reserves that we currently have under consideration in Louisiana, in Wisconsin, the Bay of Green Bay in Wisconsin, and then also the U.S. Virgin Islands would like to have a reserve, and they are just getting underway. There is additional interest in California and Michigan and Florida. So lots of people are knocking at the door, and we consider that to be a wonderful thing. We just need to make sure that we are careful in how we approach this, because there is a finite amount of resources available through federal appropriations and also the match that the states and universities provide for the reserves. It is a cost share type of arrangement to get the work done. So that's what the future looks like for us. And I wanted to kind of raise that as a particular high level interest for the information of your listeners.
Well, I appreciate that. Patricia, you mentioned the indigenous tribes, and I noticed that there's a land acknowledgement statement on your site. Can you tell me, how do we get from indigenous land ownership to a 50-year celebration of government stewardship? And were they there?
They were there. We do work as closely, I'm new to the reserve, and you do not inherit relationships. That's one thing that I do know. My goal is to continue the co-stewardship and the strength of the relationship, the foundational relationship that has already formed at South SLU from my predecessors. But we do work very closely with our three tribal nations. We had a 50 celebration actually in May to celebrate our current restoration project at Wasson Creek. It's a 545-acre ridgetop to estuary restoration project, and that has been closely worked and planned with our tribal nations. And so that particular celebration in May had a tribal nation focus that just to showcase the relationship that we have in co-stewardship and co-management, and to showcase that we are all pulling together, if you will. So we actually had some paddles made in the traditional style for our tribal nations, and it exchanged those paddles during that celebration, which is really special. And there's actually a little exhibit as well in our exhibit hall that you can see those paddles, a picture of those paddles and the paddle that we have. So we work very closely with the Confederated Tribes of the Coos, Lower Umpqua and Sayusa Indians, the Coquel Tribe, and the Confederated Tribes of the Siletz Indians. But because, as we say, this was their land. This land belonged to the Maluk Coos people from time immemorial, and we just try to still honor that through continuing to work with our tribes directly on all of our various projects.
Well, that's how it's happening at the South SLU. Dr. Payne, how is that happening, or is it happening, at the other research reserves?
Yeah, certainly. A good example is Kachemak Bay in Alaska, where we have strong engagement with and collaboration with indigenous folks in the area. That's Homer, Alaska is the home base for that. Other parts in the Northwest, close to where you are, Padilla Bay up in Washington, same thing. And I really did appreciate what Patricia said about that relationship and essentially the collaboration, which I guess is the word I would use to underscore how it is that this is done, and the sensitivity to understanding that these are original lands that were a part of the history and the practice of others. And so it's really about those connections and practices, the cultural identity, you know, family, history, lifeways, everything that, that matters to tribal and indigenous folks. And we are seeking to continue to honor that, honor those relationships that have been formed, and that recognizing the original inhabitants of the lands and working side by side with those folks to protect the values that they have for generations to come.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I've been talking with Patricia Fox, manager of the South Slough Reserve, and Dr. Jeff Payne, the senior service director of the NOAA Office of Coastal Management. Sorry, but we've got to run. We've run out of time. Thank you both for an enlightening conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Green. The JX will be right back.